step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Danny Wallace. Radio
X. Hello and welcome to another podcast from the Important Broadcast. And, listen, this is, if you've got your listener pads out, this is a DPS day, okay? A double page spread. DPS.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So you're going to have to open up two blank pages because there is a lot to learn, a lot of notes to make, a lot of different experiences to experience differently.
A wide range of experiences.
Very wide range of experiences. Not only do we talk about Steve's athletic exercises that he undertook just yesterday in a park.
Yeah, excellence.
We delve into culture, high culture, mm-hmm. As we cross live to a museum that I actually opened 10 years ago today.
We haven't really got to the bottom of why you did that.
Sure, sure. It's the National Baked Bean Museum of Excellence, so we'll be speaking with Captain Beanie himself. They all wanted him, we got him.
We got him.
What else have you opened?
Well, there's all sorts of silly jokes I could make there. Doors, letters, fridges.
Yes.
In terms of what I've actually opened, my experience of opening things is really limited to bean-based museums.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, good.
Didn't you open a Smurf museum once?
Oh, yeah, I did, yeah. Yeah, I opened my own museum.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the International Smurf Museum of Great Britain and Northern Ireland in a camper van.
Oh, good. The museum was in a camper van?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
We've got a clip of that somewhere.
Yeah, we could share that.
We could share that, couldn't we?
We could share that.
It's nice to share.
We'll put it back out.
We played Dinner Winners. There's a high-risk round of Tell Me Something I Don't Know. And, of course, we get your letters. But we start, as always, with a clip chosen by Chippy Mint.
Chippy Mint, really?
Yeah. A boxer from Stroud.
Chippy Mint the boxer. Radio
X. Wow. 10 years today.
10 years since what? You made sense.
10 years since I opened the museum.
What museum?
The Bean Museum.
What Bean Museum?
The Bean Museum.
You didn't open a Bean Museum.
I opened a Bean Museum.
How many Bean Museums you opened?
The only Bean Museum that matters. The National Baked Bean Museum of Excellence.
What? That's my favourite museum.
Yeah.
The one in the Bedsit in Port Talbot?
It's a flat, two-bedroom. It's a two-bedroom flat. And yes, I opened it.
You opened it?
They called me Billy Big Beans. I met Captain Beanie, shook his hand, ate some beans with him, spilled those beans. That's how high up I am in the bean community.
You met Captain Beanie?
Got his digits, got his pager number.
I never thought I'd say this, but I actually respect you now.
Thanks. Post that on a bean forum.
Oh, I will. Beaners are a cynical bunch, but they'll lap this up. Wait, Port Talbot? You went all the way to Port Talbot to open a bean museum.
Damn right.
Why you?
I was available.
They didn't ask you, did they? You just did it anyway.
Steve, on today's important broadcast, I'm going to ring Captain Beanie, and the listeners are going to find out a lot more about baked beans.
Don't turn off.
Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday, and welcome to your important broadcast.
Radio X.
And that was great, wasn't it? Just hearing the news before. The lead story, Steve. The lead story. The Sunday Times. I think it's the Times are running with it. I've seen it elsewhere. The idea that if there is a no-deal Brexit, there could be martial law. You know, I think it's exciting, isn't it?
It's certainly something.
Very exciting. So they're saying that if it happens and reality bites and there are food shortages, there would be curfews.
That'll be fine.
Curfews, travel bans. What else? The army standing outside the co-op protecting the sandwiches.
Okay.
And the power for them to confiscate property.
They need it.
I just think, finally, a little discipline in this country. Isn't that what we've all been, like, hoping for? Just a bit of discipline. The whole ethos of the important broadcast is about to go national.
Yeah.
And I, for one, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the curfews. No one allowed out after sort of 7 p.m. That's going to be good.
That's going to be good for us.
You're going to use board games that you never normally use. You're going to need puzzles. If there's no electricity, you'll need puzzles.
Yeah, candles.
You need a lot of candles. I think there should be a national bedtime. You know, like a 9 p.m. bedtime where we all agree that's when we go to bed.
That's how you've been running this show since the start. Yeah,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Finally, they're catching up with me.
Yeah, we've had a bedtime for years.
Yeah. In many ways, the Important Broadcast has been a pilot scheme for post-Brexit Britain.
Yes.
All this time. And I've been sort of like subtly and vaguely my way into people's lives.
Yeah.
Just bringing in a little bit of, like I say, discipline.
Yeah. Theresa May's been listening. She's like, you know what? That Danny Wallace has got a good idea.
He's onto something, this guy. Theresa, if you are listening, post 9 p.m, no programming.
No, like, yeah.
No television or radio. Nothing like that.
Back.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe just the national anthem playing on a loop and a picture of, you know, the Union Jack. Flapping about majestically in a puddle.
A puddle.
How's your week been, Steve?
It's been all right.
Yeah, you went for your run yesterday, your 10K run.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into shape, you know, so that I can, you know, fight the demons when Brexit comes.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You're going to, you know, you'll need to be able to run, won't you?
Yeah.
When you run into a butcher and steal a sausage.
Yeah, I did a 10K yesterday morning. You tell people you're doing a race.
Yeah.
They don't care how far you're doing. All they hear is marathon. and they are so pleased for you.
Yeah.
So I was like I was gonna go home early yesterday, on Friday I didn't go to the pub, and I was like, oh no, I'll go for a run in the morning, and everyone's just like, wow, man.
Yeah.
That's some positive energy.
Really is. And, yeah. And how long did it take you to run 10K? It
took me 49 minutes.
Is that good? Doesn't sound very fast.
Ages.
That's a long time. Did you finish?
Yeah, I finished it.
Did you win?
It's not quite how it works.
You keep calling it a race, yeah. So that is how it works.
Well, yeah, exactly, that's how races work.
No, it's not like a sports day. Like, I'm just running around the park. It does feel a bit dramatic to have to pay and wear the number on your chest to just run around Richmond Park. It's not the Tour de France. So I was a bit like, why is everyone taking this so seriously?
And was it, you just run? You don't have to balance an egg on a spoon or there's nothing else to it. You're just running for 49 minutes.
No, it's an extra fiver to have the beanbag on your head.
Is that right? Oh, the memories that just came back then.
Why did we have to do that at school? I remember being bad at it and like losing the beanbag on head race and being like told off.
Yeah, well, I'm pleased because once again, a little bit of discipline in this country wouldn't be bad. So yes, children should be shouted at if they can't balance a beanbag on their head for 49 minutes.
I remember the teacher being like, "You're terrible at this," and I've been like, "How am I bad at running around with a bag on my head?"
Was it to improve your posture, like a Swiss finishing school?
Yeah, I was a very slouchy kid.
Oh man, well, at least you've improved your posture since.
I have.
You are slouching though, right now.
This is Radio. Danny Wallace.
Jade Bird, Love Has All Been Done Before on Radio X. She's playing our Great Expectations gig on Tuesday at the Garage in Highbury. 10 Tons there as well, Yonaka as well.
Yeah.
We'll be there, won't we?
We're going to be there.
Will you be doing more training in between then? What's it like when you specifically, what was your experience like having run further than you've ever run, I think? And then were there very... Was there competition? Were some people trying to show how easy it is?
Yeah, there's a lot of like people taking it very seriously and a lot of like stretching before and after. And I finished, and I was quite pleased with myself.
Of course.
Having run that. And so I went to like get my bag and stuff, and there was like a little tree stump, and this big, beautiful Herculean man was there.
Oh.
And he was like blonde and like about 6'5",
wow.
And like he looked like a god. And then he was like, oh, sorry, let me
move. And you brought him here today.
Yeah, it's Joe Attiwell. And he was like, oh, let me move my thing so I could use the stump as well. And I was like, oh. And I was a bit full of myself. So I was like, how did your run go? You know, did you get a good time? He was like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I've not actually done this before. And so I was like, oh, me and him have got common ground now.
Yeah.
I was like, I've not done this before either. This is
wow.
Great. I was like, it was hard, wasn't it? It's really far. And he was like, well, I've run many marathons, but never the Richmond 10K.
So a man of experience taking on like a young man like you. Various people have been getting in touch. One in particular, a gentleman called Chris Moyles, who, it's a very familiar name. Where do I know that name?
I know it from somewhere, certainly.
Somewhere, certainly. Breakfast show legend Chris Moore says, Steve says he ran a 10K race in how many minutes? 49. Well, I call BS on that. I've seen him walk and he barely moves.
What? So, I mean, to be fair, every time Chris sees me, I am very much sat hunched over my computer. So yeah. I don't know if he's ever actually seen me move.
Well, from now on, you're going to have to be very paranoid about how Chris Moore sees you. So yeah. Whenever you see him walking down the corridor, I want you to immediately break into star jumps so that he sees you in a new light, the light that we see you in, you know, a man of athleticism and boundless energy.
Yeah, I'm always doing burpees in this show during the songs, aren't I?
So, yes. There's a joke there that we won't do. Back after this with music from Foos, and I'll tell you about two odd criminals in America.
This
is Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Steve, guess what?
What?
We've had a letter.
What?
Yeah.
People can send us letters.
They can send us letters.
Really?
Yeah. No one does. But we got a letter, a physical letter. Snail mail, as you wouldn't call it.
No, no.
Because ordinarily people get in touch digitally, don't they?
They do. I think snail mail's not very fair because, you know, often if you send a letter first class, it takes a day. That's still quite
You're
quick.
You're absolutely right.
So don't bash it.
And it's worth pointing out.
And I have.
So this is an actual physical letter from Peter from Eastbourne.
Nice.
And he's sellotaped something to it. Dear Danny, Steve and Joe, I thought it might be time to up the stakes when you're next grilled by Joe about your weekly culinary delights.
Okay.
See? So now you go back. Now you know it's about culinary delights. You go back into that sentence and you realise that steaks and grilled are puns.
Yes, yes.
But who will be the inaugural Dinar winner?
Oh. Oh.
Now, why have I pronounced it that way?
Dinar,
isn't it? Is it Dinar?
I have no idea.
Anyway, it's not dinner.
Nope.
It's the other one. So D-E-N-A-R. And you look above and there it is. They're a foreign currency. The dinar.
Oh.
And what's it got on it?
It's got a lovely peacock on
it. It's got a peacock. You'll be pleased to know that 10 Macedonian dinar, whatever, convert to around 14 pence. Although due to Brexit, I may have unintentionally made someone a millionaire. Time will tell. And it's just a lovely note with a lovely peacock on it. And that's 14 pence worth of note.
Wow.
Please feel free to disregard the above format. I saw the peacock and thought it was important to bring to your attention. Huge congratulations to Joe on the engagement. Peter from Eastbourne. Yeah, we haven't congratulated. I mean, has anything happened in that? She's not listening now. Cause
no,
is, you know.
Crucially it hasn't, but...
Well, you're getting ready.
You never know.
Oh, don't do it because we put pressure on you and because you're now getting letters from Peter in Eastbourne.
That sounds like a hint to me.
Well, look, good luck with it.
Thanks.
Is it this week?
when I know, you'll know.
Yeah.
Will we?
Mm.
Well, you seem to keep your cards.
I think that means he's going to propose to us.
This is Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Get into the music, Joe.
Get into the music, man.
And get into the music to you, Stephen. I forgot to do that.
Get into the music, chaps.
Yeah, get into the music, everybody. Hey, I've been looking at the newspapers, and wow, one little story caught my eye. Shall I tell you about it?
I would really like it if you did.
Well, I'll do it. California men, dubbed the Botox Bandits, fled spa after having treatments worth $4,000. Botox Bandits.
Botox Bandits.
A police investigation was launched in LA this week when two men fled from a medical clinic after receiving procedures worth roughly $4,000. They got their fill, didn't they?
Oh, very good.
That's a little Botox joke.
That is.
Dr. Benny, it was very little. It was almost invisible. Dr. Benny Howe released his surveillance footage of the suspects. In one post, he warned others in the area that these two men had been going around burglarizing places. Is it burglary? I suppose it is. You're sort of leaving with a face full of chemicals.
Yeah. I mean, how many more times can you do it, though?
Quite right. It's a one up. Well, how long does it last?
Does Botox wear off? No, it doesn't.
Isn't it like this number of weeks?
It's not like a couple of moments. It's, I think, quite a while. Yeah. I don't know. I've never had it.
Let's say 6 weeks.
Let's say.
No.
I don't know how long it lasts.
It's forever, isn't it?
I don't think it's forever. I think you have to keep going back. That's the genius of this, right? Because they'll know that it'll wear off in 6 weeks or whatever, and then they've just got to wait for two men they vaguely recognise because it's probably worn off a bit to strike again somewhere else. So this guy told CBS Los Angeles, the two men came into his clinic on the Monday. One got Botox in his forehead and the other opted for lip fillers. Lovely. They were nervous before the procedures, said the nurse.
You would be.
You would be. For lots of reasons. You know, because you're about to scarper as well. One suspect was described as being in his 20s and the other was in his 30s. Very hard to tell, though, isn't it? Very hard to tell. Like, by the end, he could be 12. Like, he was 30 when he came in. How would you even do the sketches? They said they'd never received treatment before. Both said they wanted to look really, really nice. So it's sort of heartwarming, isn't it?
That's lovely.
The doctor said they wanted to look beautiful. Isn't that all any of us wants, really?
Yeah. You know,
they said they would recommend us to friends and write good reviews. And so that's good. CBS, I wonder if they still will.
How did they sneak out? Did the receptionist not recognise them?
They pegged it. CBS LA dubbed the pair the Botox Bandits. I'd have called them smooth criminals.
Yeah, very good.
How about that? So smooth, they're probably hiding out in a kindergarten. They'll just find them in like a play centre, something like that. I look forward to seeing their mugshots as well. It's sort of like, smile. Can't really.
Frown.
I had patients in the other room while they were there, the doctor said. I'm just happy my patients were safe. What's going on? What was going to happen? Were they going to explode or something? On Tuesday, he released photos and footage of the pair. And a police report has been submitted. They've released CCTV. Hopefully someone will recognise him. It's hard to tell. And it just says the men may face grand theft charges.
Wow.
That's a PS4 game I'd like to play.
Theft Botox.
Grand Theft Auto, the Botox Bandits.
Sounds like a Seth Rogen film.
It'll be brilliant. What a spin-off there. And it's literally just, you can only do one job every 6 weeks.
And then you have to recover.
I've had a quick look, and Botox can last between 3 and 6 months.
It's 3 and 6 months?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to be on hot alert for the next... Well, no, you can leave it for 3 months as they recover. Well, that's interesting. Would you ever do Botox? You don't need to. You've got the face of a small boy.
I've got the face of a small boy. You know what? I probably would.
You would?
If it was for free. If I was on like a TV show.
Do it if it was for free?
Yeah.
Well, so if we can arrange
that. We all know what happens now, don't we?
No, I take it back.
No, you can't take it back. So you've just committed to Botox, but also lip fillers?
No, not lip fillers.
I think if someone comes to us and offers it, it's got to be the full package.
If someone gets in touch, offer me plastic surgery, that would be quite extraordinary.
It would be an extraordinary moment for all of us, and not one that I encourage, because we're all beautiful in our own separate ways.
We are, inside and out.
Inside and out. And on that note, is the vaccines on Radio X. I'll tell you more about baked beans very shortly. Sorry.
Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
The vaccines. All my friends are falling in love. But who are they falling in love with? That's the big question, isn't it? Who are they? They're all falling in love, but who with?
Perhaps with each other.
Perhaps with each other. Perhaps that's all it is. Yeah. Perfectly innocent, perfectly acceptable.
I think they were probably on tour in America when they wrote that song.
Why?
Because I know that they were.
Oh.
And it feels...
Do you know the difference between they were and I think they were?
Well, I'm like 90% sure.
Okay.
And I feel like they may have been hanging around in some of those California areas where things get a bit, you know, they get a bit hippie.
Oh.
And all the friends start falling in love with each other.
Well,
you know,
really?
Falling in love.
I know what you mean. you don't need to go any further. There's a lady who's just fallen in love. Just reading about her.
Lovely.
Yeah, she's getting married.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's lovely, yeah. She's getting married to her own duvet.
You know, I knew it was going to be something like that.
Her name is Pascal. She's 49, and she's invited the public along to her wedding, where she's going to get married to what she calls her comforting companion. She's going to get dressed up in a nightie. It's a very relaxed dress code. She'll have a hot water bottle. And she says, look, my duvet is the longest, strongest, most intimate and reliable relationship I've ever had. Now, she says that like it's a good thing. But I think there's an element of that that I don't think is particularly healthy.
No, definitely not.
Well, anyway, she would beg to differ. So she says, I love my duvet so much, I want to invite people to witness my union with my love. There'll be music.
Great. Like lullabies.
Yeah, so if it's not enough for you to go and watch a woman marry a duvet, you know, there's the lure of music.
So is it a completely open house? Anyone can go?
Yeah, it's happening in Exeter.
Shall we go?
Let's go.
You can go straight after your Botox on Sunday 10th February at 2 p.m.
And then
there's a wedding party afterwards.
Oh,
so it's a real day. And she's not the first person to... Didn't someone marry a rock recently? Or a big rock? Someone married themselves, I saw that.
Really?
Last November, it says, a man married a hologram. during an intimate ceremony in Tokyo. Why is it always an intimate ceremony? Is that, I think that just means no one else turned up.
Yeah, that's definitely it.
It's just a man in a hologram getting married. There was a woman who married the Berlin Wall in 1979. She was devastated in the early 90s when the wall, fell, rendering her essentially a stone-based widow. And there was an LA man who married his mobile phone. Ooh, there'll be a joke there about teenagers, hey?
Yeah, you know.
I don't even need to do it. I just imply there's a joke there, and you can all do that yourselves. I'm going to tell you more about the Baked Bean Museum of Excellence, somewhere I was privileged to open just 10 years ago this very day. That's right. I went to Port Talbot, and I opened the National Baked Bean Museum of Excellence. I wasn't, you know, going through a very busy period. Back after this.
Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
I mentioned earlier the world of baked beans, all because 10 years ago today, I was honoured to go on a little journey of the soul to Port Talbot in Wales, where I opened the National Baked Bean Museum of Excellence, which is run by a gentleman called Captain Beanie, who answers the door entirely orange. He's sprayed himself completely orange. I think these days he's got baked beans tattooed on his skull.
Wow.
Or his head, really. And I was trying to use a different word, and I thought, well, that would be even weirder. Just on his skull. And we're going to talk to Captain Beanie a little bit later on, but it made me think that this week, for Tell Me Something I Don't Know,
yep,
we should investigate the world of beans. We should swap bean facts. And when we do our research in the week, we all go down to Croydon Public Library, mm-hmm, and we go through the encyclopedias together, yeah, and come up with a range of facts. Because this is all going to be about beans, there is the potential for a bean clash, a fact clash.
I'm quite nervous.
We're all a little bit nervous because there can't be that many facts about beans. So if one of us does, we're going to have to come up with a rule, halve the points or something like that.
Yeah. I think so.
And if you're sitting there thinking, I'm not really interested in beans, get used to them because, you know, post-Brexit, you're going to have to. Let's play Tell Me Something I Don't Know.
Radio X.
Tell me something I don't know.
So we'll go around the table, two facts each. Who is going to start? Obviously, there's an advantage in starting.
Yeah, can I go first?
Okay, Steve. Steve can go first.
Okay, guys. Well, a Heinz UK salesman used to carry a hot flask of Heinz beans and give them to the customers.
I did know that.
Ah!
You know why? Because I was researching on the same sites as you.
I didn't know that. You gain a point, lose a point. It's 0 points.
It's lucky I didn't choose that one. Did you know this? The average Briton eats four times as many baked beans as the average American. But it's the Irish who gobble up the most.
Per head.
Per capita.
Oh, there you are. I didn't
per
know
skull.
That.
I did know that.
Really? Joe, your bean-based fact.
Well, because I was worried about bean clash,
We're all worried about that.
I sort of broadened it out slightly to focus on beans more generally.
Oh, clever.
Yeah?
Clever.
So, did you know that beans can be used as an ingredient in dairy-free fudge?
Is that right?
Yeah. Would you like the recipe?
No.
Okay.
No. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
You use black beans, but apparently it's very healthy.
Black bean fudge.
Dumb.
Yes, Stephen.
Apparently, part of Heinz's marketing campaign in the 70s was to fill like water pistols, like super soakers, mm-hmm, with baked beans and then kind of squirt them around at people. And it was cancelled very quickly, apparently.
I can't even see that would work.
I think it sounds like a golden lie, doesn't it? It sounds like a lie.
Oh,
that's doing
we were well. On the same website.
I didn't see anything about people squirting baked beans. Surely they would lodge within the barrel of the water pistol.
I don't know about the logistics of this marketing campaign.
How would you fire? You'd have to have a lot of sauce to push those little
really messy
bean bullets out.
Well, it says Super Soaker, and we all know they're the finest brand of water pistol.
You're trying to get a free Super Soaker.
I'm not trying to get a free Super Soaker.
What year was this?
70s.
70s. Have Super Soakers been going since the 70s?
But, maybe. I don't know.
I don't like this.
What are you going to do?
How many points have I got?
I mislaid the score sheet.
I'm in the thousands, aren't I? And I stand to lose them all.
No.
I'm going to do it. Golden lie. There's no way you could fire a bean out of a Super Soaker.
It was a golden lie.
Oh! Steve, you lose all your points, but I think you did that last week as well. So.
My fact then. The special Heinz Beans spice mix comes to the factory in numbered bags. Now, not labelled bags, numbered bags. Why? Because if they were labelled, you'd be able to work out what the tastes are that go into the special baked beans. So they're numbered. This keeps the recipe a secret, meaning that only three people in the world know the exact ingredients.
That's exciting,
isn't it?
Wow, I mean,
it's a lot of effort.
What, is this for a special sub-brand of baked beans?
No, it's the Heinz beans. Oh, it's the normal Heinz beans. Really?
Well, it's a secret recipe?
Yeah, because it's got a specific taste to it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to copyright it and all the rest of it.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't even know it was a secret recipe.
Well, there you go. There's a million facts there for you. Joe.
Remember, so this is about beans more generally than baked beans.
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
You're listening to Radio X.
It's about to get weirder. Pythagoras' followers thought that human souls travelled through the stems of bean plants to Hades after they died. So it was a sin to eat beans or walk among bean plants. They didn't eat them.
You avoided beans in case they went to Hades?
In case it stopped the souls of the dead travelling to Hades.
Is that how it works?
That's how I understand it.
Did Pythagoras have followers?
Yeah.
What were they following him for?
Maths.
It's just a bunch of mathletes. A bunch of nerds.
I'm a little out of my depth here, and I feel like a bit of a ninny.
Pythagoras had followers, did he?
Pythagoras did.
And they were all scared of beans.
Yeah. A Pythagoras. Was there more than one?
That's the one with the triangles
the theorem.
And that, right?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, I'm out of my depth.
You certainly are.
I was going off piste to try and find bean facts that you didn't have.
You're on a different piste altogether. well done. Good facts there, apart from you, Steve. I think we've all learnt a little something.
I think so.
To take forward as we meet Captain Beanie just a little bit later on.
Danny Wallace.
This is Radio X.
I had this really weird dream.
What about?
It was April. Mm. Brexit had happened. And you asked me what I had for dinner.
I asked you what you had for dinner.
Well, Brexit dinner winner. And we start, as always, with the beginning of the week.
Monday. I didn't eat anything. Steve?
Nope, I didn't eat anything either.
Then that's a draw.
Tuesday.
Well, Tuesday. I went foraging for rats in Porter's Wood. A small stick whittled into a sharp point at one end was my only companion as I lay in the thick, cold mud for hour after hour, my face smeared with whatever dirt I could find around me, and which I pretended for one lonely moment was fine Belgian chocolate. Until, what's that? The scurrying of tiny feet. Slowly, I moved onto my haunches, ready to strike, quietly brushing aside the bush I'd called my own to bring home to my family my prize. But it wasn't a rat, it was an old Brexit pamphlet with a picture of Duncan from Blue on it saying everything was going to be fine. So I cooked it anyway, with an old OXO cube I'd bartered my wedding ring for the day before from an old Chinese man who said he wanted to smelt it. Steve, what do you have on Tuesday?
I found a lollipop under a seesaw in a park.
What flavour?
Puddle.
You take the points.
Wednesday,
then. Well, it was a riot at the always-burning M&S because someone said they'd seen the flavour sachet from a packet of super noodles under an old trolley. So I used a broken roller skate I'd swapped for the last teaspoon of my diesel to get there, tearing it from the child's hands. Many of us were dressed in rudimentary armour we'd fashioned from pots and bent colanders. But no, I did not eat tonight. The powder was taken by the strongest amongst us, who poured it directly into his own mouth. It turned out it was Bombay Bad Boy, and the man immediately fainted. We robbed him of his shoe leather and made chewing leather from them.
Well, I followed an Essex peacock down a blind alley. Soon it was just me and him. I towered over him, my fierce eyes letting him know it was him or me. Anyway, he took a massive bite out of my bum, so I guess it was him.
Okay, that's another draw.
Brexit humour!
Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
Well, hello, it's Sunday, and you're with the important broadcast here on Radio X. Still to come, we'll play Dinner Winner, an exciting new twist we've just decided to do on the format this week as well. Because I took a picture of my dinner on Tuesday, and you took a picture of your dinner on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we'll put these two pictures together, and we'll tweet them out, and we'll do a poll as to who had the best dinner. It's the people's vote. The people are rising up, Steve. The people want their voice heard.
Yeah.
Because it's a game you play along with at home. Or which one of you had the best dinner? Now, finally, you will be heard. So you're putting that together right now?
I'll tweet that right out. I have lost confidence.
While you're doing that, Joe will be lining up Captain Beanie live from the National Baked Bean Museum of Excellence. I'm giving you just a glimpse of what is going on here in Studio XF, Radio X.
Oh, you...
Didn't know, did I?
What's the matter?
Didn't know,
did
I?
In January with you.
Didn't know, did I? It's fine. No one noticed.
It's only been 3 years, mate.
So that's what's happening here in Studio Radio X.
Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Well, it's a break from tradition. You know, we don't normally have guests on the important broadcast. They have to be particularly important people. We do particularly important things, and I promised you this would happen, and it is happening, because 10 years ago this very day, and you'll know this from your diaries, I opened the National Baked Bean Museum of Excellence, something I was honoured to do, and I was asked by a gentleman called Captain Beanie, and live right now from Port Talbot and the National Baked Bean Museum of Excellence is Captain Beanie. Are you there?
I am indeed, Danny, and I certainly hope that you are full of beans this morning.
Well, I certainly am. Are you full of beans?
I'm always full of beans, Danny, ever since I first encountered your presence 10 years ago. Can you believe it's a decade since we last beaned up?
You're absolutely right. And how have you been since then?
Well, it's been very exceptionally well, put this way, into the national curriculum of baked bean attire at the moment, because, believe it or not, the Baked Bean Museum has been recognised by TripAdvisor, and our museum is currently number one of things to do in Port Talbot.
Well, congratulations. You know, it's a sterling achievement. It's a wonderful place to visit. So can people just come round and visit?
Yeah, well, I've got very professional since the last time we met.
Have
in
you?
Fact, what we happen is we have a register book. People come in, visitors not only from the UK, Danny, but from all over the planet. And basically, we have, talk about live on air, have somebody come into the museum.
You're joking. Let them in. Let that person in. Let's see who it is.
Hello, who is it? All right, Brett, come on up. It's amazing, this live, isn't it, radio?
It's wonderful. Yeah. Who's coming in?
Well, what it is, I've organised a little private party I have.
Oh, yeah.
With special guests, and we've laid up a bean party, bean feast here, for all our guests to come. We're going to have photographs, obviously, taken, which I'm hoping to coordinate with you in the future.
Mm.
And basically, yes, we have a register here that everybody can attire to.
Yeah.
And we've managed to get all of 450 people already on a book.
Oh.
Come on in, Christopher.
Chris is here. Christopher's here.
Yes.
Put Christopher on a second.
Christopher, hold on now, Christopher. This is Danny Wallace, mate.
All right.
Hi, Christopher.
Hi, Danny. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Will you do me a favour? As someone who's just walked into this situation, you've walked into the National Baked Bean Museum of Excellence, just paint us a picture. Tell us about what you can see around you.
There's lots of orange.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of certificates on the wall, photos.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go into the kitchen, there's tins of baked beans everywhere. And it's all kind of... it looks like a tribute to Heinz.
Oh, well, that's lovely. Thank you, Christopher, for joining in there. Would you mind putting Captain Beanie back?
No, sure. Hang on.
This is so strange.
Yes, Danny. Who would have thought that when you aspire to obviously open the museum, we've got a Heinz kitchen, and guess what? We have actually a Branston bathroom as well, so anybody can may take a saucy shower.
Lovely, a saucy shower. Now, obviously, I opened the National Baked Bean Museum 10 years ago today. The press were there in abundance. And what are your memories of that day?
Well, it's just like it was only a decade ago, basically. I remember that you sat down with me, and out of the shock and bewilderment, you presented me with the highest accolade that you ever presented to myself, as the blue plaque. Do you remember that, Danny?
I did. I gave you a blue plaque. I'll be honest, I made it myself. It was a blue plaque, like a Wallace Award, basically.
That is indeed, yes. You said it's only exclusively one of only seven, I believe. Is
that's
that right?
That's right. And is it up in the Baked Bean Museum?
It is above the doorway as we speak.
That's great.
And it's all for there to see. And your glorious presence, obviously, in a certificate. And everybody who comes in here think, what? You've had the Danny Wallace here open the museum?
Quite right, quite right. Sometimes I can't believe it.
Yeah, indeed. And hopefully now, today, now will be a start of the next 10 years.
Well, exactly. So not just 10, 20, 30, 40, or even 50. You're doing wonderful, sterling work in support of the Baked Bean. I know you do lots for charity as well. Have you been helping someone recently?
Yes, basically. I don't know where you know about this as well. You know, apart from learning about the baked beans and opening a museum, did you know I've got a head full of baked beans, Danny?
I've heard rumours that you've had baked beans tattooed all over your head.
That's right. And consequently, we have actually managed to raise the last baked bean, which is going to an organisation called the Daisy Garland Fund. And I've got a daisy tattooed on my head amongst the other baked beans. And we are having a cheque presentation on their behalf this afternoon for a princely sum of £2,400.
Well done. Excellent work, Captain Beanie. Well, if you're in the Port Talbot area and you want to learn more about baked beans and hang out with that fella, perhaps partake in a saucy shower on your own, of course, head down to the National Baked Bean Museum of Excellence. Captain Beanie, a pleasure as always. I'll speak to you in 10 years.
Indeed is, Danny, and may the force go behind you, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
So that was nice, talking to Captain Beanie, wasn't it?
Such a nice
lovely
chap.
Lovely fella. It's a really, it's an impressive outfit he's got going on there. I mean, literally and figuratively, I meant the museum itself. But also he dresses in a cape, a bright orange cape and sort of spandex. And he's dedicated to the bean. I tell you what, so I opened this place, right? I may have mentioned this once before to you, I'm not sure. I opened the National Baked Bean Museum of Excellence, and we had to, you know, the press was there, and I talked to the press, and Captain Beanie talked to the press. And it was only when I was about halfway home that one of these articles came out, and the person I was in the car with went, hey, look, check this out. And it was about the day, and Captain Beanie, and bearing in mind, you know, Port Talbot, it's not the closest place to my house.
No.
Captain Beanie had been quoted in the press as saying of me and my efforts to open it. Yeah, it was nice of Danny Wallace to officially open the museum. I mean, really, I wanted Michael Sheen, but you take what you can get. You take what you can get. we're going to play Dinner Winner in just a few minutes' time. And there's a slight change to the format, isn't there, Steve?
Yeah, people head to Twitter now. They can vote on Tuesday's dinner.
It's so the people's vote.
People vote. There's two pictures up, one of Danny's, one of mine, of two different chicken dinners.
Yeah.
You can vote, you can make yourself heard.
And it may inform Joe's decision moving forward.
Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
Jimi Hendrix on a Sunday. Here on your important broadcast. A broadcast about to get all the more important as we move through the week comparing dinners. Comparing, contrasting. Joe will judge. He'll tell us whether Steve had the best dinner or whether I had the best dinner. Also, it's like change the format as well. Watch out for Tuesday, because Steve's just posted two pictures on the Radio X timeline on Twitter where you can finally be heard and have your say, maybe sway the judge. Shall we begin then, Joe?
Let's begin as ever we do with Monday.
Monday. Monday.
Oh.
Well, I try and cook a restaurant-quality meal three nights a week. And in the 10 months I've been trying this, I've never once succeeded. But seeing as it's Monday, let's go meat-free.
Ooh.
After all, Steve would never do that. So, to Indonesia for some Indonesian-inspired rice. Green beans, pepper, spring onions for starters. Carrots, ginger, not as an afterthought, but as a major thought. Add the chili flakes, add even more.
Ooh.
Then let the soy sauce mingle with the rice and pow, unleash a fistful of coriander and a foot's worth of peanuts. And you've got a vegetarian dish that could turn heads in an abattoir.
Can I just say that sounds like a side to me? But also, can I add that, like many of our listeners, it's been a real stretch to get to payday this this
right,
week.
Okay.
So my dinners are perhaps more humble than they usually have been. But Monday I had mac and cheese.
Oh, mac and cheese. You've done right. That's nice. Go on.
Well, as we all know, I did a 10K yesterday. So this week has mainly been carb loading before the big run. Unfortunately, I didn't have any macaroni, so I substituted that for some penne. But this was gourmet. I must say gourmet mac and cheese. That means two types of cheese and some parsley as well. And don't forget the mustard powder.
Oh, okay. So gourmet versus restaurant quality.
It sounds ever so heavy, your mac and cheese. And I have said it before, Steve, I'm not a big fan of mac and cheese.
Oh.
Despite the fact that may upset some. So, Danny, I'm gonna award you the points on that one
Thank
for Monday.
You.
As
Thank
we
you.
Move into...
Tuesday.
And don't forget, Joe, there is a public vote to check on this one too.
Oh, most certainly. So the public are voting on Twitter for your Tuesday dinners as it stands.
Okay.
There's a picture of each.
Yeah, the picture of each. So don't reveal who's done what yet.
Okay.
Well, lentils have been eaten since Neolithic times, and they were one of the first domesticated crops. So what? So last week I ate them on purpose, and they were brilliant. Perhaps the Neolithics, who didn't even have pizza... We're onto something with these small balls of whatever they are. So let's see what else they can do. Let's get a chicken breast. Let's marinate it in exotic za'atar spices. Let's pop some cumin on those lentils and add some garlic. And then let's bake the chicken, bring it out, sprinkle some parsley on it and some lemon juice. Then let's add a whole load of sour cream to the lentils. The result? A restaurant quality meal in my own home. Maybe my first. I'd pay money for this dish, said my wife, genuinely. Normally a very cold woman. And in that moment, I saw the woman I first married. And I did what I did then. I charged her £5 for the meal.
You know, that does sound good, that one. Well, I was with my friends. That's very important.
Okay.
With close friends.
Yeah, close friends. Good experience.
And to try and maintain my strict diet for this, for my run,
yeah.
You know, to be the champion, I am. I had two pieces of jerk chicken.
Ooh.
Jerked, actually, by my flatmate, Colette.
Huh.
A handful of rice, sure, and some slaw on the side, and a bit of sriracha. It was given to me like I was an inmate on death row. After eating it, I would say, you know, bring on the lethal injection. I'm ready. That's my final meal. I'm done.
Wow, that's
dark.
That's really
so
dark.
Restaurant quality versus I'm happy
to
just
die.
Passing away.
Yeah. Well, look, guys, as we said, the public have been voting.
Sure.
Far be it from me to take the public's voice away from them.
Yeah. What do they say?
Well, overwhelmingly, they have voted 52% to 48.
Well, that's overwhelming, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. For Danny's chicken.
Wow. Well, I've always said if it's 52%, that for me is the cutoff. That's absolutely, you can't argue with that.
It's 2-0 to Danny as we move into Wednesday.
I mean, we could... I mean, I know you'll want...
I think we should have another Twitter vote.
He wants to vote again. Wednesday. Well, things have warmed between my wife and I since the za'atar spiced chicken. Perhaps it was the sour cream counteracting her natural sour outlook. Could she have been warmed by the chilli on Monday, or was it the ginger? She certainly moves more gingerly. Well, tonight I'll make her something that will involve chilli and citrus. A whole wheat spaghetti with grilled asparagus, chilli and aubergine. But my wife does not like aubergine, and the plans go awry. Don't like them, barks the battle axe. Perhaps her hatred of aubergine is why these days our texts are so unromantic. Fine, my love, I'll come up with something. I won't let you down, I beg. You better not, she replies. And so I replace the aubergine with courgette. The result? A delicious, wholesome, meat-free dish that resulted in me waking the next morning entirely unbruised and with a reputation for restaurant-quality food.
Wow. Well, I know I eat a lot of chicken, but this week has been particularly chicken-heavy.
Sure.
And Wednesday was no exception. I made chicken wings with sweet potato seasoned in Stevie's special spices. And that's not a kind of bodily fluid, though. It's lemon zest, parmesan cheese, parsley, paprika, and, of course... our old friends, salt and pepper.
Okay. Steve,
the twins.
Say the no twins. More, because I have to say I agree with your wife, Danny.
What?
I am not an aubergine fan.
That's why I changed it for courgette, if you were listening.
Absolutely. It was also very fussy. And there was something else that I didn't like in there.
Fussy.
Something else. I can't remember. Anyway, I was taken by Steve's dish. Look, don't look at me like that. It's 2-1 and we move into Thursday.
Wow. Too much fuss. I didn't realise that was one of the rules.
He stopped listening after aubergine.
I did.
Organic British chicken breast marinated in harissa and yoghurt on a bed of mixed grains with baby spinach topped with flaked almonds and pistachios. Sure, I didn't make it. It's just a ready meal.
Oh.
But Steve's incessant toading up to the Middle Eastern food industry piqued my interest. And at just 362 calories and with the quintessential North African taste of harissa, this was a ready meal I was ready for. It tasted, however, average. Restaurant quality? Well, maybe a restaurant by a motorway.
Well, I had salmon and sweet potato. I don't know if you can tell, guys, but I had a lot of sweet potatoes left over this week. And it was the only way I could make it through to payday by constantly eating them. But I'm a man of nutrition. And salmon, sweet potato, just those two things. That's all you need for a good, healthy dinner. Mm. And it helped me load for the run.
That's true.
Yeah. Did you nearly say lard?
Lard up.
Steve, you've made it 2-2. Well done. Yes. I like salmon. I like sweet potatoes. Well done. Let's move on.
Friday.
Three little words better than I love you.
I know what you're going to say.
I'm going to say Friday night curry.
Of course you are.
Oh, come on.
Say no more.
Change the record, mate.
It's a chicken Camilla Frazee for any completists making notes.
Very nice.
And coming from my local restaurant, I can confirm, it was restaurant quality.
Well, it was the night before the run.
The big run, yeah.
Tension in the Ferdy house. So let's keep it simple. Chicken breast. Wow, still going with chicken, eh? Sweet potato, still there. Slaw, still there. Help me. But it was a great combination. And if the apocalypse were to don and aliens were to scoop me up and cut me open to form some kind of experiment, they'd say, that's a healthy man. Yeah. That's a healthy specimen.
That's the nice sort of bright side, bright, nice spin to put on your own dissection by aliens.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Preloading before a run has nothing on a Friday night curry.
Oh, man.
So it's 3-2. Let's do Saturday.
Saturday.
My wife, a very cold woman, has decided to cook. A rarity. And not one I encourage. But nevertheless, we must allow her, and she attempts Cajun chicken burgers, for which she's bought a new spicy mayonnaise. A nice touch, spoiled only by the fact that she does this every single time she goes to a supermarket. Our fridge creaks and groans under the weight of so many barely touched bottles of spicy mayos. Yet still, the harridan brings more home like a cat with a stricken bird. Yet, despite her cruel jibes and sharp tongue, the battle axe knows her way around a burger. A little iceberg lettuce, the bun's lightly toasted. This was, I concede, restaurant quality.
Fair. Stephen.
Well, all I can say is, Bosch, my run was done. 49 minutes, 32, guys. Not bragging, but did a pretty good job there.
Yeah.
So I treated myself to a pub burger. Pub burger beef, mate. Yeah, cheese. Nice. I paid £2 extra. This is true. This is off the cuff as well. I'm just remembering this. Paid an extra £2 for the bacon in there.
Okay, so two burgers, both restaurant quality. One beef, one chicken. Where are you going?
I've got to go beef, I'm afraid. Yeah. It's what? Level. It's 3-3 as we move into what are you having later on today, Sunday?
Sunday.
Well, I haven't been looking forward to this one since you unveiled a new piece of information back on Monday of this round. I'm having mac and cheese.
Ooh. Oh, dear.
Made with vintage West Country cheddar. Comfort food for the man on the go. Or woman. It's 2019. Women can eat pasta and cheese too now. Served up on white plates with vintage blue trim and accompanied by a bottle of red. A restaurant quality experience that's the cheesy Mac Daddy, not a mac and cheese baddie.
Well, this could be the week that I clinch it.
Unless
here.
You mess this up.
I'm going for a roast dinner in a warm South London pub.
You know what's coming, Danny.
I don't know. I never hear it. It's never really happened.
Steve takes it 5-3. Well done, Steve. Yes. You're this week's dinner winner.
I want a second referendum. I want a second referendum. I must be heard.
This
is Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Look, I know how it is, everybody. It's been 2 hours of intense learning. You've learned a lot about beans, a lot about what we had for dinner. And it's important, isn't it, after such exertions, to warm down. So we're going to do a warm down now, just to get you ready for the rest of the day, with just a bit of small talk. So we'll do one of our small talk texters. This is where we just say something to you, and then you respond by texting 83936. Nothing interesting, please. Nothing that leads to any more real questions, just a response. Yeah. And the small talk texter today is... Cold out, isn't it? So let's just give you an example of how that would go. So cold out, isn't it, Steve?
Oh, yeah. Nippy.
Good. Joe, cold out, isn't it?
Bites you in half, doesn't it?
Doesn't it just? Anyway, see you later.
See you later.
So 83936, respond to this, please. Oof, cold out, isn't it? While you're doing that, we'll do this.
Danny Wallace.
This is Radio X.
I just think, Joe, less haste, more listening when a man swaps an aubergine for a courgette.
It wasn't.
It's the age-old expression, and I'm bringing it out.
Less haste, more taste.
Yeah. Oh.
It wasn't so much that I wasn't listening.
Well, it seemed like you weren't listening, and it really that put me off my game.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that.
I found it very hard to describe subsequent dinners, having lost faith really in the governing body.
Never lose faith in the governing body.
No dinner's better than a bad dinner.
Don't kick off. Just I've always said that. You've lost. I don't kick off each week.
I wasn't losing. I came second.
You lost, mate. First loser and last loser. You are a loser.
I got 52% in that vote. Overwhelmingly, as Joe pointed out, people voted for mine. But then I saw a picture of your dinner. And again, I refer you to my previous statement. No dinner's better than a bad dinner.
I don't know what that means.
Well, I'm just saying that I would rather crash out of dinners than have a bad dinner.
I disagree. I wholeheartedly disagree with that. You're saying I've lost rounds here before when I've had no dinner or a popcorn dinner like last week. Mm. And you've had a not that good dinner. So by your logic, I should have won some of those rounds.
No, I'm just saying no dinner's better than a bad dinner. And going forward, Joe, and I will do this, I just won't have dinner one night. And then what will you do? Because you need me to have dinner.
I'll
crash out. I'll just not have dinner.
I think in this case,
he'll blink. As it gets closer, he's going to be texting me all the time. And right at the stroke of midnight, he'll be like, please have dinner, please have dinner. You need to have dinner. Because he needs me to have dinner as much as I need to have dinner.
I think you've misunderstood. As the governing body, I think you've misunderstood how much I need you. It's
absolute arrogance from that side of the argument. Because, you know, it won't work without me having dinner.
Perhaps there's some kind of deal we can reach here where maybe you have a bit of dinner one night and then you can have a little bit of him having dinner. You can still have a little bit of what you want. Although ultimately you're not necessarily getting what you want. You're not getting what you want. But together, there's a kind of happy medium. Perhaps we could try that.
I don't know because I'm not going to talk to him. You know, I'm not going to go and meet with him about this.
You're not going to do that?
No.
Really? Would you be willing to talk to Danny about this?
We've had all of the conversations that we're going to have about this, and I think that you need to make your position clear.
You need me to have dinner, that's what I'm saying. So let's see what happens next week, shall we? Because that'll be exciting.
Well, why don't we just wing it?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
I think it started with Dinner Winner, and it ended up being about Brexit.
That's the first time that's happened.
Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
So I asked you as part of your warm down, you know, as we move into other shows, it's important that you have a sense of serenity because it's been quite high octane, hasn't it, with all that learning. So I asked you just to respond to the small talk texter, which was, it's cold, isn't it? And here's what you said. Well, Will, in Lowestoft, just said, yeah, it's that time of year, isn't it? It's true. Someone else just said, could be worse, Danny. Could be in Alaska.
Ooh, tell me about it.
Tony in Norwich just said, oh, yeah, it's cold. It's a day for wearing two pairs of socks. Absolutely. Anonymous says, can't remember the last time I didn't have the heating on. Absolutely. Alan in Durham goes, Danny, mate, it's raw. What was other people saying?
Wouldn't want to be a duck, says Liz.
Oof, absolutely. What else?
Tony, Gabin, Gabby. There's a lot of double socking going on out there.
There's a lot of double socking. Joe says, oof, it's the wind, isn't it? That wind is bitterly cold. Hector just goes, it's brass monkeys, Danny.
Oh, dumb.
Beth says, Dan, I couldn't find my gloves. I had a right panic. Simon in Perth, roll on spring, he says. Will in Manchester just goes, it's turned, isn't it? Oh, it has.
Dropped, didn't it? Dropped.
Al says, goes right to the bones, doesn't it? And Tom in Peckham just goes, oof, can't remember volunteering for the position of snowman. Absolutely right. We'll be back same time next week.
Radio X.
X.
Danny Wallace.
Well, there you go. That was your free podcast. I'm reminding you that it is free. You can't send it back. You can't unhear it, certainly.
Yeah.
You get what you pay for. You didn't pay for it, so that's what you got.
Yeah. Although, technically, if you do work for one of our advertisers,
sure,
then in a way, you, like if the CEO of Car Giant is listening,
yeah,
then they have, in a way, paid for.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Let me start again. Well, there you go. That was the podcast. Unless you are the CEO of Car Giant, that was entirely free. Although, of course, it would be a business expense. I doubt you paid out your own pocket anyway. It would have gone through a marketing budget.
But as the CEO, they probably have a decent share
of
Car Giant. So it means that any expenditure of the company probably does ultimately take out of their net worth.
We've spoken before. I think there is an element of our listenership that do enjoy a peek behind the curtain from time to time. I also think that curtain can be lifted a little too high.
Yeah. No, it can be. But anyway, what would a sort of a large company like that have for a marketing spend?
Oh, well, I mean, a car giant.
Back next week. Bye-bye.
Radio X.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.